God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me. Help us to glorify you today by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we had covered the big book up to We Agnostics, and then we studied the steps we took, and we covered the whole book, and that took us several months. I think there were, 24 or 5 podcasts, and I think some people got a lot out of it. I certainly did. And now we're back picking up in how it works, and we'll be going through the directions on the steps in recovery. And we started on last Saturday, and as Justin reminded me, I only covered two lines, but I did review what it takes up to page 58, what the big book is telling us we need to understand and admit to ourselves and commit to be able to get to how it works. How it works is on page 58, and it's read at every meeting on a card usually, and a lot of new people don't realize it's in the book. And these are the pages that changed, I believe, the world and gave hope to me, because without the steps, there's no hope. And people talk about the program and they confuse it with the fellowship. The fellowship is a group of people who have the same problem, but the steps is the cement that binds us. The steps is the path to God, and without God, I have no power not to drink. I have no power not to be selfish, self-centered. I have no power not to harm people and serve him and others. And so we are not going to review much, but since in honor of Jimmy, I am going to review because he's always giving me a hard time. But the first paragraph of How It Works has honesty in it 3 times, I believe. And this honesty is awareness of the truth of your situation. You have to be honest with yourself about your situation. Now, why don't alcoholics recover? Because they can't be honest about their situation. They know it's bad, and they know they can't drink, but they still think there's a third door, or their plan, they still have a plan. And they haven't completely given up on themselves. Now, to give yourself completely to this simple program, you have to give up on you. And that's very hard. Why? Because I lived my whole life where I was the center of the world, and trying to manage the world, I had this delusion, which is insane, that if I could just manage the world well, I would be happy. Well, it didn't work, did it? Because people aren't going to do what I wanted, things aren't going to go my way. And what I was really saying to myself is, Michael, you're really a loser. You need people to tell you you're okay to feel good about yourself. And that started long before I ever drank. But when I drank, that changed. And I felt better about myself. So it treated this feeling that I wasn't good enough and I needed love and I needed applause and everything out there to be okay. And what I didn't realize was really my main problem was my separation from God. Because when I had that delusion, I was playing God. And it's never gonna work. It didn't work. Did it work? It got me a wristband. It made me make decisions that harmed myself and people I loved. And so we have to be honest, and if we cannot or will not give themselves to this simple program completely. You have to completely give yourself to this simple program. And we had someone talk about not doing that. What does it mean to completely give yourself to this simple program? It doesn't mean that you're going to go to a lot of meetings, although that's good. Meetings are very good because it reminds me I'm an alcoholic. I have to say I'm an alcoholic. I'm with fellow alcoholics, but it won't give me the solution. And to give yourself completely to this simple program, you have to stop giving yourself to your program. You only have two choices, your program or their program. And when your program stops working, and you can see it's never going to work, then this program is there for you. AA doesn't tell you to do anything. That's why it's a suggested program. Because we suggest you do this, but we're not going to tell you to do it. You have to do it when you've run out of options, and then you tell us what happened. And I saw that Wednesday when I saw Matt here, who was literally dying 2.5 years ago, who had two sponsees with him. Now, is that not a miracle? And I'm looking at you, and I remember when you had the cirrhosis in the band. And look at you now, years later, 11 years later. I see it, I see all this. And it reminds me that there is a God, and he's there for all of us if we seek him. And how do I get that power? I do this. So then the second paragraph, which we covered last week, is what are we trying to tell people when you come to AA? What it used to be like, they have these stories in here, but the real story that everyone needs to study is Bill's story. It's masterfully written, spiritually guided. I can't imagine somebody could sit down and write that who was an alcoholic and see the truth about it. And he describes what happened to him, what he did, and what it was like now. And he describes his demise from his alcoholism and his self-centeredness. He admits complete defeat when he says quicksand surrounded him. Alcohol was his master, and then he's defeated. But this is 1934. There's no AA. So he had fear, and he had knowledge of his problem from who wrote Doctor's Opinion, but that couldn't fix him. And then I think God decided that he didn't want alcoholics to die anymore, and that we would be able to be desperate enough to do the principles that are really in the New Testament. The principles of living that are given to us in the New Testament, he wanted to give to us because we would do them and we could take them to the world. And so Bill in his kitchen, Ebbie Thatcher comes to see him, and Bill's drunk and he doesn't want to hear about God or anything. And then he goes to the hospital, he works the steps. He has an experience where he feels the power of God. And then immediately he thinks of those he can help. Well, how's that happen? He's defeated on page 8, and on page 14, he's thinking how he can carry this to other people. And he eventually found Dr. Bob 6 months later, and we're here today. And he was part of the Oxford Group, it's important to remember, which was a group of Christian men who were trying to live spiritual principles of the New Testament as it was practiced in the first century after Christ was resurrected and left them. And so they had 6 steps to grow in sanctification in the image of their Creator. And so we have to remember the basis of this. And so then we have this program, which is 12 steps, which we're going to talk about how we got from 6 to 12. And that's what it is. So it says, if you've decided, so you have to make a decision. I hear a lot of people say they're not going to drink anymore. I'm done. Well, that's great. And they mean it. But have they decided that they want what we have? Now, to do that, they have to know what's in the book. That's why I started this meeting. So people will know, what did they have and what do I want they had? Now, what they had was they tell you in the beginning, in the foreword to the first edition, that they had recovered, not recovering, from a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body. Now, recovered means that they weren't under the power of alcohol all the time. They could live a life, they weren't obsessing about drinking, they were seeking to serve God and others. They had changed. Doesn't mean that they never would drink again, because if they stopped doing what they did, they would. But they had this, and they said, we are going to show you tell you exactly what we did. Precise instructions and directions. So that's what this book is. It says, if you have a hopeless condition of mind and body, and you can see the truth about it, you have to really see the truth about it. On your own, if you follow these directions, you'll have what they had, and you won't drink again. Now, I've heard it said, and I don't know anybody who's proved me wrong, that if you keep doing everything in chapter 5 and chapter 6 and follow those directions all the time, you'll never drink again. So try to prove me wrong. You won't. You won't be able to, because you're going to have conscious contact with God. And so you have to know what they had. Now, before you decide you want what they have, the key thing is you have to decide you don't want what you have. It seems so silly, but you have to want to give up what you have completely, 100%. Now, I don't know if I did that, but I know I was completely defeated. And I got down on my knees and I asked God for help. And then through circumstances, over 20 years later, I'm here. How'd that happen? All the hand of God. And it says, and are willing to go to any length to get it. Now everybody says, oh yeah, willing to go to any length. Now what does that mean? What does any length mean? It means any length. Are you willing to do whatever it takes, whatever anybody suggests? Now, you know how you can work out with a new one and find out if they're willing to do that. You ask them to do something, usually very complicated, like call me tomorrow. You know, or read a page and call me. And then they don't call you. And on Wednesday, you get this call, oh yeah, I forgot. Well, they're not willing to go to any length because their mind told them they didn't need to do that. I don't need to call Michael tomorrow. Well, that mind that tells them that is the same mind that's going to tell them you need a drink. You see how it works? And you have to give up listening to yourself and listening to others completely. Willing to go to any length to get it. A new way, a new approach. Give up on you. Then you're ready to take certain steps. Now, if you don't take the steps, it doesn't matter. Now, steps are how you go upstairs. Right? Yeah, anybody seen the steps? If you want to get up the stairs, you have to go up the steps. Now, I've seen a lot of people want to go upstairs, but they don't want to take the steps. Or they don't want to take these steps. They're going to take a different, they're going to go out the exit and come up the back way. That's not going to work. I can't get to my kitchen from the first floor basement by saying, I'm going to get there without walking up the steps. It seems so simple. Steps are progression. Now, the steps are very simple, really, when you actually look at the directions, which we're going to do. But what is the result of the steps? You have a relationship, a new way of seeing the world. You have a new power in your life. When you get disturbed and people are pissing you off, anybody ever do that? You say, well, I don't have to get disturbed. God, help me look at it differently. Anybody get fear? You get fear, you say, God, I don't want the fear now. And God will say, well, you don't have to have it, Michael. Just trust me. See how it works? And I don't have to harm people anymore. And I can react normally to alcohol if I'm in a fit spiritual condition. Now, I will drink if I'm not in a fit spiritual condition. So you want to get in a fit spiritual condition, which means you'll react to alcohol as if it's a hot flame. You will see the truth. I don't think buying Kahlua today and getting cigars is a good idea, Michael. it may sound good for like a minute, but then what's going to happen tomorrow? I know it's going to happen because I can see the truth. I'll buy more Kahlua and more cigars and my life will be ruined. And I can see the truth of that. Now, that maybe that's what they mean by thinking through the drink, but I can't think through the drink without God. The only thing I'll think myself into is into a mess. And so that's the result of the steps. On page 85, if you do all the work, you get to step 10, you're living in the world of the Spirit, you have a power that shows you the truth about alcohol. Anybody want that? If you want that, you got to get there. Now here's the warning. There's a warning label on this book. When you get there and you can see the truth about alcohol, hello, it's not going to last. It says, alcohol is cunning, baffling, and powerful. It says, we have a daily reprieve, stay of execution, based upon maintaining this fit spiritual condition. We're not maintaining we're maintaining a fit spiritual condition. And if we do that, then we'll be okay. And if you don't do that, you'll slip back. You could be sober 10 years, and everything's great, you're working the steps, you stop going to the meetings, you start listening to your thinker, you start getting irritable, restless, discontented. You may not drink right away, but your life's going to be miserable. And then eventually most people drink. You don't want to be on step zero, which is when you come in here and everything's totally crappy, and you haven't done any work, and you have no relationship with God, you're just left with the disease. Now what happens is if you're sober without God, you're in trouble. So you don't want to stay at step zero very long. You don't want to work on step one very long. Step one is you're powerless over alcohol, your life is unmanageable. If you don't see that, how can you work on that? Well, my sponsor had a good idea. Give them more booze, which is not trying to be funny, but that I can't make you see your complete defeat. Now, we did cover last week that the first step in recovery is not the first step in the book, in the 12 steps. The first step is on page, I think it's 34 or something. It says I have to learn that I have to fully concede to my innermost self that I'm an alcoholic. Now, I was thinking about that. You really do, because you have to see the truth that I cannot take one drink and be successful at it. And they say the idea that we're like other people has to be smashed. You want to pound your fist too? There you go. And it seems silly, but until you're fully conceived, 30, it's the beginning of More About Alcoholism. See, I'm getting old. I can't remember the exact pages. And so you have to be able to fully concede that you're an alcoholic to admit you're powerless over it. You can't admit you're powerless over alcohol until you fully concede that you're an alcoholic. Fully concede. And the truth has to be there. But then knowing that and fully conceding without doing any work won't change anything. But it makes you take the first step that you're powerless over alcohol, dash, my life is unmanageable by me. Now, if I'm managing my life, I'm going to drink. Why? Because it won't go the way I want. I'll get self-pity, and I'll be fearful, and all that nonsense that went on in my head for years, and then I seek the relief of alcohol. So I need a new manager. And so any length means any length. Then you're ready to take certain steps. The steps are the key. Now, here's the thing about the steps. Take them. Now, I hear a lot of people working on step one. That's fine. Don't work too long. Step two is where you're willing to believe that there's a power that can help you. Now, we have a new person here today. I hope he believes, from what I'm saying, that there is a power that can help him. That power is available to every alcoholic. He will help anyone who seeks him. You have to believe that. That's all it is you're willing to believe, and it can't be you. You can't be the power anymore. So step one tells you, I can't be the power anymore. And step two, there is a power, and it can't be me, and that power can change my life, remove the obsession, the drink, and give me a design for living that works. And then step three is just a decision that we're not going to play God anymore. How long does it take for you to decide that? I hear some people working on the third step for months. You know, either you're going to decide not to play God or not. And why? Because it didn't work, because you're here. Your life's a mess. And so that's what it means. And at some of these, we balked. A balk is a baseball term, too, where they balk. They make a false move. Balked means you don't want to do it. We balked. And I've heard that at some of the, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't want to do this or I'll do that. I said, well, that's fine. Remember, if you want the cake that they baked, you have to follow the recipe that they used to make it. Now, if you follow your own recipe, you're not going to have what they had. You'll have what you have. And then you won't have the solution they had. Now, it may work for you. Your cake may be great. If it is, write it out, write a book. But if it doesn't work, try their cake. And it has to be precisely the way they did it. And it says, we thought, now when an alcoholic thinks, that's a bad situation. Remember, my main problem is SHIT, simply how I think. That's my whole problem. It is, still is today. We thought, here's where you get in trouble. I could find an easier, softer way. Well, who told you that? You did. Yeah, I'm not that bad. This Dr. Mike, he's never going to shut up. I'm not going to do all this. I'm not that bad. He was really bad. I'm not that bad. And we tell ourselves nonsense. We thought we could find an easier, softer way. Why do they put this in here? Because they know who we are. They're not stupid. Because they did it. Anybody here try an easier, softer way? Of course. But we could not. They couldn't. It's not going to work. And it's not that this is harder. It's just that your thinking tells you, I don't need to do this. And I started this meeting, what, in 2008, so that I could teach these instructions so somebody could do them and they didn't have to die like my son Curtis at 4 in the morning, who was powerless over drugs and alcohol. And so God told me after we buried him, teach the big book. I wasn't good at it in the beginning. I bless all those people who had to come and listen to me. And I found all my notebooks the other day. I had like 15 notebooks of all these notes on the books, and I listened to everybody. But now I can do it and kind of blabber away about anything. But we could not. It didn't work for them. So this is the last thing. Ed always says, it's the last thing I tried and the first thing that worked. And we hope this is the last thing you try, because if not, you're going to keep trying your way. And then it's not going to work. It says, with all the earnestness at our command, all the conviction that you have, everything you got, we beg you, they're going to beg me to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Fearless and thorough, and not take too long. I remember going to a meeting, Brian was at it years ago, where the guy had a sponsor, they did one step a year. And the guy, sponsor died after 3 years. And it was so sad, and this guy was such a mess, and he was sponsoring two people. And it was just so, I felt so sad for him. But you hear that, don't work the steps too quickly. This sponsor goes, oh, I don't want them to work it too quickly. Okay, so you want them to live with untreated alcoholism longer. It doesn't make any sense. And people who say that don't understand the disease. Because I'll tell you, this is a bad disease.
But we don't want to rush through it.
Stop it.
We're overcoming objections that your sponsor made.
Oh, yes, of course. Jimmy just celebrated 13 years. I love him. He's back, so anyway, I'm nervous. I'm nervous because he's here. And it says fearless and thorough. Thorough and fearless, that means you're not going to be afraid. You're going to do whatever they tell you. from the start. And it says, some of us, now here's the key line, and I'll probably shut up after some of this. Some of us have tried, they knew what we've tried, to hold on to my old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go of absolutely. Anybody like that line? Let's see what it says as I see it today. My old ideas was my problem. It was everything I thought was true in my head. Now, when I get to step four, I'm going to see that everything I thought was wrong. All my resentments and fears were wrong, and my actions were the result, and they were wrong. My old ideas is my resentments, my fears, what I think people should be doing, how I should be treated, what do I need to be happy. Sandy Beach, in his famous talk, dropped the rock, and I forgot, I'm so disorganized, to bring in my drop the rock and read his last paragraph where he talks about if you let go of your old ideas. Now, to let go of your old ideas, you have to be willing. Chuck C., in his famous new pair of glasses, said, every morning I wake up and I say, Papa, that's what he called God, what else am I wrong about today? Because I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong. I don't want to be right. I want to be wrong. When I'm seeing things and I'm bothered, I'm wrong and I want to see it. And I have to let go, I have to let go of all of them. The result was nil. Now, nil is not good. So what could be an old idea? Well, I don't need to go to three meetings a week. Brian always tells the story about, you know, Carrie says they want me to go to three meetings a week. I don't have time for that. You know, he's drunk in court, but he can't go to three meetings. You see how we are? Oh, that's so much of my time, and it's so ridiculous. And they want me to read the book. I tell people to listen to podcasts. What's he talking about? So ridiculous. My old idea is that I think I know what's best for me. That I know what's best for you. It's the set-aside prayer. Let me let go of everything I think I know, because it's always wrong. I love watching a show on Netflix that I didn't like. Because I didn't like it because I didn't like the picture. They have the picture and they have the little description. Oh, I'm not going to like that. It's no good. It's no good. And then I watch, I say, boy, that was really good. What's wrong with you, Michael? And it's the same thing with, I was trying to get my five-year-old to eat something different. She won't. I said, well, you're going to have a tough life. You know, you can't eat chicken nuggets your whole life. And so, if I don't let go of my old ideas, the result was nil, unless I let go absolutely of what? Everything I think. It sounds simple, but it's hard to do. Now, when you read that and you're on page 58, you have no idea what they're talking about, really. But that's why they start with, I have to be convinced that a life run on self-will can never work. Step three. So I have to be convinced of that. And I'm convinced of that because, and they show me what a life run on self-will looks like. It's not pretty. And then they say, if you want to follow through on the third step prayer, you have to face and be rid of the things that are blocking you from God. Now, what are they? All my old ideas. If you're bothered today at all about anything, it's an old idea that's in your head, some old idea. Some fear, some judgment. Something's not doing something the way you want. The world's not treating you right. They don't understand how magnificent you are. They may make you wait in line. They may not be driving fast enough on the street. I mean, with alcoholics, it's endless. And so we have to be able to do that, and the sponsor and the book helps you do that. If you just go through this. That's why I have people tell them, you know, they can't make it. They keep relapsing. I said, well, each day write down whatever bothers you, real quick. Food store, boss, wife, kids, kindergarten teacher, whatever. And call me that night so we can look at it, because those are all their old ideas. And nobody's ever done it. I'm not asking for a lot. And we talked about the nightly inventory. Isn't that what we talk about in step 11? We're looking through the day at what old ideas we had and how we can see it differently. We ask God's forgiveness and what corrective measures can be taken. And absolutely let go, absolutely. Now you have to be willing to go to any length, and you can't balk, and you can't seek an easier sir, and you have to be fearless and thorough, and you have to let go of all your old ideas, absolutely. Now why? They're gonna tell you, remember, you're dealing with alcohol. Cunning, baffling, powerful. And where is it cunning, baffling, and powerful? In your head. It's a stupid liquid in a bottle. But in our head, that's the relief from living a life separated from God. And we know if we get that in our body, things are going to get better. Now, that's an old idea, right? It's not true. But the old idea is that cause alcohol to have power over me is my resentment, my fear, my shame and guilt, my bad decisions, my separation from God. And then it's going to tell you, it's very subtle, without help, it's too much for you. That's too nice. It's without help, you're screwed. You're going to die. I told somebody they're going to die. They didn't like that. They're mad at me. I said, well, read the book. It threatens your life like 100 times. But there is one who has all power. Here's the key. That one is God. Find him now. Where is God? Right here at the moment. I had something happen yesterday. I'm not going to go into it. It caused a little fear. And I said, well, you know, it's not happening right now. Right now I'm okay. And then I'll end with this, and we'll come back to this on Wednesday if anybody comes back. Half measures availed us nothing. Now there you go again. You don't do it, you're not going to get anything. Now, and there are half measure meetings and third door meetings where people talk about their half measures in the third door. They don't realize they're doing it. They don't know any better. No one's taken them through the book. Nobody showed them the directions. And that's what we need to try to do. And we should all be sponsoring and going through the book. You don't know how to sponsor? Get a book. Read it with somebody. I have the podcast. I have a whole book. You could have say, listen to Doctor's Opinion. Call me. We'll read it together. It's not that. That's why I did the meetings. That's why I started recording them. We stood at the turning point. You're at the turning point when you come in here, when you get to page 58. Are you going to turn towards God, or are you going to stay where you were? Now, the turning has to be 100%. And the steps keep you turned. You want to turn towards God, and we ask his protection, care with complete abandon. Not some abandon, complete abandon. So we're giving up our plan, what we have, our old idea. We're willing to do it 100%. Now, how do you stay 100%? That's where meetings help you. That's where being with other alcoholics. And that's where the sponsor is supposed to get you through this book. So I'll end with that. And I may review a little bit Wednesday. Don't get upset if I do. But this is powerful stuff, isn't it? I mean, I don't know how they wrote these words. I don't know how they put it together. But it's changed my life. Thank you, and congratulations again, Jimmy.